Guess what, fellas? The boys are buzzing because hockey is back. Want to know what else is buzzing? The Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Don't get chirped this year for having a disaster below the waist. Join the Manscaped movement for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HAYES, that's HAYES, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
I feel like we've done good things in some areas, but a big piece of our team obviously is to execute on offense, and we haven't done that. But that's both our special teams. We're still trying to find that as well. Getting Austin back for one game now and a little bit more practice time. Looking to take positive steps in that direction, but I know I don't think we're where we want to be yet.
Leafs looking to get where they want to be, as you just heard head coach Sheldon Keefe say. Welcome to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julia Teixeira. Got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano from Overdrive with me. Al's brother, let's start this with a little JT victory tour. JT in this context is me, even though our producer Ken just put me really low on his JT power rankings. He put John Torrey ahead of me, which
I
know. Like, that's low, dude. That's low. Regardless, I got to eat a sprinkle donut this morning, provided to me by Al's brother, because I called the fact that Tkachuk wasn't going to come out with the C last night. But it doesn't end there. We saw Jesperi Kotkaniemi get absolutely chewed up in Montreal last night. Did he care? No. You know what else he didn't get? A video tribute on the board.
No.
You and Craig were arguing with me yesterday. I knew they weren't going to give him one.
It wasn't as much as an argument. It was just the fact that, like, it seems like everybody gets video
tributes. Now it wasn't an argument.
Well, yesterday, remember, we were trying to think of who it was.
It's always an argument when I'm right.
The Maple Leafs, who the Maple Leaf was, who I was like, really got a tribute?
Yeah.
I think it was Tyler Ennis, I believe, got a tribute. Because it was like Connor Brown, Ron Hainsey, Nikita Zaitsev, and then like Tyler Ennis.
Literally the entire
also
Senators team. Like, it was awkwardly long.
There was like five Maple Leafs that a few years ago who all, it was like during the offseason that the trade happened that brought in like CeCe, I think, where they all kind of got traded away.
Mass exodus to the Senators.
Exactly. And then like Ennis signed a contract and Hainsey signed a contract there. There was like five Maple Leafs and they just gave them all a tribute at one point during like one of the intermissions or one of the periods there. So I was like, hey, if Tyler Ennis gets a tribute here for the Maple Leafs, I mean, maybe Jesperi Kotkaniemi gets one for Montreal. But you're right, he heard the boos, but he got the last laugh.
He got the last laugh. Could it have gone any better for him? One goal against Montreal of all teams, and they took the W. And Aho scored two in Montreal. Like, just a tough night.
The social media game of the Carolina Hurricanes.
So good.
Oh, my goodness.
So good.
Did the Habs lose.com? That was
Did they make that, do you think?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
It's great. But Maple Leafs back in action tonight, finally. Off the ice for three straight days. No games, but back tonight against the San Jose Sharks. Night one of a back-to-back. And what's notable about this is the fact that it looks like Michael Hutchinson is going to get the start. And if we remember anything from the Mike Babcock era, it was the ongoing discussion about what to do on back-to-backs and how he was very stubborn that night one goes to your starter, night two goes to the backup, no matter the matchup. But now, new era, Coach Sheldon Keefe says, no, we believe that we want to put Michael Hutchinson in a more favorable position and kind of allow us to win the game against Pittsburgh with Jack Campbell in net. So we're going to allow Hutchie to start this one.
And you know what? I like that. We'll talk about this a little bit more with Chris Johnston. He'll be on at 12:05, so we'll bring him in pretty soon. Bring in an expert, AB. We got it every once in a while when we start talking too much. But I like this angle. I heard Noodle say it on Overdrive earlier this week. I totally agreed. It's kind of the classic old school move to just try and get the 2 points. I'm not going to try and do the Babs impression again because I've been hearing about it ever since because apparently it wasn't very good.
I didn't realize he was from Brooklyn.
Tell him that. The man speaks with an accent, a mysterious accent, and no one knows where it's from. But good for him. Whatever. I like going with Hutchie tonight. Why not give the guy every chance to succeed on home ice?
Yeah, I think it's a fine option. I was never one that was really stubborn on, you got to play night one. Like, some nights go with Hutchinson, some nights are your backup. I guess once Peter Mrazek comes back, it'll be Mrazek will be kind of the backup here, or at least the 1B. But I think it should be matchup dependent anyways. It should not be so stubborn the way that he was. And it really set up Hutchinson in a bad light too, because he always had a tired team in front of him. And if you take a look at like how poor he was the year that Babcock was here comparative to last season.
Yeah, like he won big games last year when he needed to.
Well, didn't he? He got a shutout against the Edmonton Oilers last year when they went and they absolutely rolled through that team.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hutchinson got a shutout.
Yeah.
Like he's not.
Against Connor McDavid. Drysdale. Right. Those guys are pretty good.
Like Hutchinson is not, I think, as bad. Like there's a sour taste in the mouth of the Maple Leafs based on how he played the season before.
Yeah.
Like, take a look. Like, an .886 save percentage.
He's a third goalie, though. What do you want from a third goalie?
Yeah, no, he is. He is a third goalie. And I understand that and all. But at least give him an opportunity to succeed.
Totally.
And that's,
totally agree.
That's what we kind of have tonight. Allowing him to come in with some fresh legs. The team hasn't played in a few days. You know, he doesn't have to worry about a tired team in front of him. He's getting kind of an A squad to deal with, as opposed to a tired B squad that sometimes he would have to deal with a couple of years ago when he was going night two.
Yeah, a little update here on Mrazek when you bring him up. Update from Kristen Shilton, who we'll also have on a little bit later. Sheldon Keefe said Mrazek has been skating. He was on the ice this morning and will travel with the Leafs on their road trip. He's not close to playing, but he's progressing well. Always important to get that team bonding in at the start of the season. I forget who it was a couple years ago. I think it was a Leaf. Well,
in the all or nothing, I remember it, and it may have been just due to COVID, I guess it could have been just lack of travel, but I recall Joe Thornton was like,
right, it's hard not to be on the road and bond with the guys. That's exactly the instance I was thinking of. So I like that Mrazek skating on the road. Positive sign for the Buds.
Well, and he's a new player to the team, still trying to assimilate himself within the organization, within the group. So allowing him to come out.
Why is assimilate such a harsh word to me?
I don't know. Why is that?
I don't know. Keep going.
I just think it's good to like, we've heard players say how important it is to get that first road trip out of the way, to allow a team to gel. And when there's new pieces, guys like Mrazek, this is kind of their time to do it. So now they're going to be traveling to the U.S. for the first time since 2020. Tomorrow night they're going to be in Pittsburgh, and then they'll be there for a couple of games. I think it's really good for him to go and join the team. If he's able to do it, why not? And it looks like he is. So I think it's a good call for him to go.
Yeah. Okay, another weird thing tonight. Early start for the Leafs, 6 p.m., kind of unheard of in Toronto. Like, good luck getting there if you deal with downtown traffic. We've got TSN Hockey Insider, Toronto Star columnist, Chris Johnston on the phone. CJ, I just brought up the fact that the Leafs are playing at 6 tonight. Do you have any insight as to why that is?
Yeah, it's all connected to their travel, because they play tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, and so... They moved up the game because they're anticipating having a few more wrinkles, I guess you might say, as they cross the border.
Yeah.
They're actually having to clear customs in Pittsburgh versus doing it before flying here in Toronto.
Gotcha.
Which would be normal, and you know, it's COVID time. So essentially, I think they've built in a little bit more time to play with for getting there. And you know, competitively, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, San Jose played last night, so it squeezes their window of rest, and it maximizes the time before the Leafs play tomorrow against the Penguins.
Well, is this a situation, I'm curious if you know, if the Sharks had to kind of sign off on changing this game, or is this completely up to the Maple Leafs?
It would be up to the NHL, and so obviously in cases like this, the teams can make their case. You know, we saw it a little bit last year when you know, some teams got shut down and a number of games were rescheduled.
Right.
You know, I know at the end of the season, the Leafs weren't happy. They got kind of tied up with Vancouver's rescheduling. And you know, they didn't like the way their schedule turned out. And so you can kind of plead your case to the judge, but ultimately the NHL and the schedule maker, Steve Hatzepatros, you know, that's the job that they do. And so the NHL would be the one making the final call.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I almost missed a flight to Thunder Bay a few weeks ago because it was so hard to navigate the airport. There was just so many lines, things like that. CJ, we were talking before about how Michael Hutchinson is getting the start tonight against the Sharks. Past coaching regimes, it definitely would have been the number one starter on the first night of a back-to-back. What factors do you think played into this decision for Sheldon Keefe?
Well, you know, probably the fact that it's the third game in four nights for San Jose. I think it's reasonable, you know, as well as the Sharks have started this year. And, you know, they've been one of maybe the very, very early surprises, I'd say, around the league, just in terms of their hot start to the season. But, you know, that you're putting him in a position to succeed where, you know, I think the Leafs will be planning on having the puck a lot tonight and then, you know, not giving up too much in their own zone. And so I think that would be probably first and foremost. And you know, they're probably not going to play as well tomorrow. I mean, none of these things are perfect science, but mm-hmm. you know, the second half of back-to-back, I realize it's probably a tougher game. You know, Pittsburgh's pretty dinged up right now too. And, you know, they don't have Crosby. They don't have Malkin. They have Jeff Carter now in COVID protocol. So they're down their top three centers. So it's not quite the Pittsburgh Penguins of old that the Leafs will be facing on Hockey Night in Canada. But, you know, in this case, I think it would just be, you know, coming off the rest and with the Sharks being a tired team entering this game, that the odds are that the Leafs will, you know, probably make it easier on their goaltender.
In conversation with Chris Johnson, TSN Hockey Insider and columnist for the Toronto Star, CJ, your good pal and apparent new trivia partner, Jonas Siegel.
Hot debate about the trivia thing. There's a lot of controversy around this office about the trivia thing.
First of all, gutless
I'm worried
move.
That I might have made the wrong choice by aligning with Jonas. Woo! But you know,
I mean, that's a character flaw. The way that he just gutlessly just let go of his teammate like that.
Right, and then you know, just because he said that, now I'm with him. Like I didn't get any say in the matter, really. I just all I did is accept the job. But you know, we'll work through it. Jonas and I, we walked to the rink this morning for the morning skate. So we're trying to do our team bonding of our own here for whenever this trivia match is.
Well, he wrote in The Athletic this morning, he kind of did a notable stats piece through the first week of the season. Go check that out at The Athletic. But one that stuck out to me was Jake Muzzin having a 46% expected goals for percentage. Given that the Leafs' high possession numbers and the shot share disparity so far this season while they're out there on the ice, is this a tad bit concerning for you when it comes to Muzzin's play early on this season? Or do you think this is just a vet finding his legs early on?
Well, you know, I don't think the Muzzin-Hall pairing has been as effective in general. And we know, you know, Justin Hall missed a game on Saturday with an illness related to COVID. You know, I'm not sure that Muzzin himself is at 100%. And so, you know, if that pairing played more than, you know, four games together and we're still producing those kind of results, I would definitely be concerned because, you know, if you look over time, I mean, they've really probably been the most reliable duo, although Riley Brody's performed well since, you know, TJ Brody came here last year. But you know, I'm not at the point where I'm sounding any alarms or, you know, I don't think it's worthy of too much concern, but certainly that's the number to keep an eye on just if it starts trending in the right direction, because, you know, one of the things that Jake Muzzin does extremely well is break up the cycle, help the Leafs get out of their own zone, you know, play on offense, which when you have the forward group they have, you know, that's a big advantage for a team the way this is built. And, you know, he plays important minutes and big minutes for them. And so if that were to continue, it would certainly be not a good thing for the Leafs.
Let's start to go around the league a little bit here, Chris. Something you were talking about on Insider Trading last night, Mark Scheifele produces another positive COVID test. He'll stay out of the Jets lineup for at least another week. What's the latest on the Jets situation?
Well, it's really a day-by-day situation for them. And you know, they're at a point where they're being tested daily. And every day when they're waiting for those results, you know, fingers are crossed that they don't have more cases. You know, they're in a tough spot as it is. They had to play 11 forwards and 7 defensemen last night just as a function of the cap. When players are on COVID protocol and out of the lineup, you don't get any cap relief for that. So they didn't have an ability to call up another forward and balance out their lineup if they were ever to get in a situation where they had, you know, further positive tests and those players couldn't play for a game. You know, the Jets could be doing what the Leafs and the Avalanche have already done this year and, you know, find themselves shorthanded in the near future. And so, you know, it's difficult to say really where this is going because, you know, it's not yet clear if this is a true outbreak or, you know, a case where they have two players that have both had breakthrough cases of COVID. You know, we're talking about two vaccinated players and Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele. And so, yeah, it's a difficult situation.
Yeah.
You know, it helped that they got a win last night, I think. You know, I know that, you know, from talking to people there, it was tough because, you know, they had a few losses out of the gate. They lose their captain to COVID. I mean, just sort of a difficult set of circumstances. And really right now they're back to the old protocols too. You know, they're wearing masks everywhere, very socially distanced in the dressing room, kind of what the league was played under last year, and the rules have been relaxed elsewhere around the league, but they're taking every precaution you possibly can.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. The fact that this is a new league year and they've somewhat relaxed some of the protocols, and I was curious if the Jets were kind of going back to that or if there's a threshold of how many players end up getting COVID or testing positive. At what point does the league have to start, you know, taking it into their own hands and maybe start looking at postponing games?
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet. And, you know, but certainly if you got the four or five players or staff members, you know, testing positive, I think you'd look at it based on kind of how situations were handled last year, whether it was in Dallas or New Jersey, Vancouver. You know, a number of teams last season, you know, got shut down for a week or more because they had, you know, outbreaks that they were dealing with, and it was the only way to kind of safely keep everyone apart and allow everyone to recover and get back to games. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why the Olympics isn't still a slam dunk, quite frankly. It, you know, the NHL and the NHLPA have agreed to go, but they do have until January 10th to withdraw from the games without penalty. And you know, to me, the only circumstances that would do that is if, you know, we started seeing a bunch of games have to get, you know, canceled and rescheduled, and you know, they might need to use the Olympic break essentially to get into a full 82-game season. So, you know, let's hope it doesn't come to that, but, you know, that is always a possibility and for the season. And that's why, as much as, you know, sometimes it feels like the pandemic's over or we're getting back to normal, and certainly normalcy is returning, I mean, we're still not all the way there, and this kind of is a reminder of that.
In conversation with TSN insider Toronto Star columnist Chris Johnson on the phone on Leafs Lunch. Chris, Montreal dropped to 0-5 on the season last night. Carolina had an absolute hoot with it. They're short three of their biggest leaders right now, though. So who do you think in that Montreal dressing room has to step up and take ownership, leadership over this team to get them out of this funk?
Cool, good question. You know, they have to start producing offensively, right? I mean, this is... Yeah, I think the concern for Montreal, the losses are sort of obvious and the lack of goals is obvious, but they really haven't generated a lot of chances. And, you know, some of that just might end up being, you know, the roster rebuild, that they're not good enough, they don't have enough skill. But, you know, I think that their skill players, you know, have to be feeling a lot of pressure, whether it's someone like Tyler Toffoli, who had a career season last year for them, and hasn't been scoring so far. You know, Nick Suzuki signed a big contract extension, you know, just prior to the start of the regular season. And, you know, I think anyone that's sort of counted on to put up some offensive numbers for the Canadiens in particular will be feeling it, you know, with the way the season started there. And, you know, it's amazing. It's like the year is so young. You know, I don't know what to make of any team at this stage of the season. It's so early. But to be 0-5, I mean, if they lose again, that, like, it could get untenable pretty quickly, I think, especially given, you know, GM Marc Bergevin's in the final year of his contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're only a couple months removed from playing in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, it's a crazy circumstance, and you know, I don't think it really rests on one player, but they got to start controlling the shots and getting chances, because, you know, they don't even have a chance in these games with the way they're playing.
CJ, we'll get you out on this one here, but the new season, now officially 10 days old, what to you has been one of the biggest surprises or one of the biggest storylines so far?
Well, I think some of the teams we didn't expect much of winning has been notable. You know, Buffalo got off to a 3-0 start. You know, San Jose started well. You know, and then you get the opposite of that, which, you know, Chicago, after a fairly big offseason, including, you know, extending Seth Jones a massive contract after trading for him. You know, they start 0-5, and then the Canadiens are 0-5. I mean, it feels a little bit like up is down in the league, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Vegas has got off to a bit of a slow start. You know, again, nothing that I'm smashing the panic button on or saying that, you know, all the preseason hype wasn't worth it. But, you know, a lot of the teams we expected to be dominant haven't started that way. You know, I think it's understandable, say, in Tampa's case, that there might be a little bit of hangover there. They've lost Kucherov, obviously, early in the year, but dealing with some personnel loss due to cap constrictions, too, in the offseason. And, you know, they played two long playoff series in the last 12 months. I mean, it's been a crazy time. And so I think if there's, like, a general storyline that's grabbing my attention, is that a lot of the teams we thought were going to be crappy haven't been crappy, and some of the teams we thought were going to be great, you know, kind of there's a little bit of question marks around them. And, you know, I do think a lot of that will level out with time. But, you know, a team like San Jose wouldn't surprise me if they have a better than expected season. You know, I think reality will set in at some point there, you know, not to take anything away from their start, but I just don't see that team having enough to compete, you know, for a playoff spot over 82 games or anything like that. But you know, it's been an interesting start that way, and kind of fun. You know, when you think you got it figured out, you know, you get some different results mixed in. It must be driving the bettors nuts, and you know, that's the main reason I don't do it.
Yeah, yeah, I can attest to that. It's driving me a little bit nuts here and then.
Hockey,
well,
eh?
It's funny because if the season ended today, which I mean we're four games
the
in,
ended four
but
games
like
in.
the playoff, like the Sabres are in the playoffs, the Red Wings are in the playoffs. You got the Blue Jackets who are going to be in the playoffs.
My theory since we started the season is because we started the NHL season started during a full moon and during a Mercury retrograde. So that's my astrology thought on the NHL season.
You're gonna have to explain what that all means, Julia, because
But it's why everything's a mess right now. It's what if anything's going wrong, just blame it on that.
Okay, that's good. I need a few of those excuses. That's good.
Yeah, astrology. That's why astrology. The way that the moon works. I don't know how any of that works either. CJ, we'll have to get Julia to talk to us both about all that stuff. But Chris, really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely,
thanks, Chris.
There goes Chris Johnston, TSN Hockey Insider, columnist for the Toronto Star. We have him on the show each and every Friday.
Al's brother, I have to tell you something really quickly. I was bragging off the top that you had to bring me a donut. My stomach is a mess right now from eating a donut. My stomach is a mess. Anyways, I just had to share.
It might be because you gloated. That's just, you know, you
it's
talk about
karma.
The universe.
I talk about the universe, and then I tempt it like this.
This is what it is.
I tempted it into a sore tummy.
I am Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. She's Julia Tesheri. We're going to be taking a seat at the lunch table when we return here on Leafs Lunch. Kevin Kurz of The Athletic stops by for a chat about the Sharks. Then Kristen Shilton making an appearance to give her side of things on the Leafs perspective.
I feel like they're playing with lots of confidence. I feel like they found their team identity early and are rolling with it. They're playing really sound team defense, playing as groups of five all over the rink, and their special teams have been very good. So obviously early in the season, those are the things you're looking for to really get fire, and they're one of the teams that right at the top of the league in all those categories.
I'm Julia Tesheri from Bar Down here with Al's brother, Mike DiStefano from Overdrive. We're going to get to the Leafs lunch table real soon. We'll go to Sharks reporter Kevin Kurz, and then we'll have our very own Kristen Shilton on to talk about the Leafs. The Sharks have been good to start the season, AB.
Yeah, no, the Sharks off to a 3-0 start as they come into Toronto, so they're riding on a high. Coming off a win last night against the Ottawa Senators, I believe 2-1 was the final there, I think. I wasn't expecting the Sharks. Like, we talked about it with CJ, some of the teams that we weren't expecting to be
totally
good out of the
gate.
We
didn't mention the Sharks there, but they're definitely in that mix.
The Sharks are one of those teams. Like, if you would have said, like, oh, yeah, the Sharks will start the year 3-0, I would have said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But they are. They have. They haven't faced the best competition.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe a little asterisk, but nonetheless.
Hey, like, a win's a win. 2 points is 2 points.
Win's a win.
If there's anything that I learned.
11 goals for through their first three, like, that's good.
No, they are. They're getting offense. I mean, Timo Meier is playing really well. There's been a resurgence in a way out of Erik Karlsson. He's got like 5 points so far.
And you know what it is, eh?
It's that fountain of youth that we keep bringing up.
He cut his hair. He changed his hair.
Okay,
flow chop.
So I was
I'm
watching.
Flow chop, just for the record.
Am I, because I was watching the game last night, and I saw that he had cut his hair, and yeah. I was like, this looks so weird.
Totally.
I didn't recognize him on the ice at first, and I was like, who's that new number 65 there on the Sharks? What's going on? And I'm like, oh, he cut his hair.
New number 65.
Yeah, I was so confused.
Did you see TJ Brody?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, TJ Brody debuted a bare face at Leafs practice yesterday. I think the story that I heard was that he was Guy Fieri for Halloween. So he shaved it into that goatee, and then he just
chopped it all off.
Yeah, so I don't even know if I'm going to recognize. When I first saw him yesterday, I was like, whoa, TJ, it's your whole face, dude.
Yeah, no, this is why I've had a beard since I was...
Four.
Not quite four.
Seven and
but
a half.
Like 17. I will say since 17, I have had a beard. Like, the last 10 years of my life, I don't know if I would ever shave it off, even for a Halloween costume.
Yeah,
I look
okay.
Weird. It's not a good sight.
Really? Now I'm curious.
Yeah, no.
Oh my gosh, maybe now we should bet on that.
No.
There's no beard shaving bets in your future?
No, there's not. No, there's not.
All right. Fair enough.
Leafs Lunch Table brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid card available at Circle K, the perfect gift for any occasion. Leafs taking on the San Jose Sharks tonight, and Kevin Kurz will stop by in just a moment. One of the big things that I'm going to be taking a peek at tonight is how the special teams battle goes.
Yeah.
Because we talked about how well San Jose is doing right now in terms of their offense and the fact that they're not allowing goals either. Like, you take a look at their goals for percentage. They're a plus seven goal differential right now. A big reason for that, 41% on the power play. And they're 100% on the penalty kill. They haven't allowed a single goal on the PK yet. And their power play, quarterbacked by Erik Karlsson, has been extremely strong to start the year. So can the Maple Leafs combat that? Because they're coming in on a high right now.
Their penalty kill is 100%. And that's interesting to me because the Leafs, it's no secret, have struggled with 5-on-5 scoring so far this year.
Yep.
So they're going to have to lean on 5-on-5 scoring if that San Jose Sharks PK is really as good as it looks right now. 100% ain't bad.
That's not bad at all.
Small sample size, but still proves that it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for the Maple Leafs.
And it will. And obviously, there's been a lot of discussions and conversation about the Maple Leafs power play. It's somewhat under the microscope in a way, just because last season, right? And the fact that they haven't really struck gold like we thought they would so far this season. Like, they've been fine, but like, they didn't score in that game against the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
Although they looked really good.
They got goal lead. Somebody was in my Twitter mentions after that game because I said on the air, their power play looks good. You can't tell me that power play wasn't ticking. They could have scored a goal on a bunch of separate occasions on that power play. It was ticking. Like, it does look significantly better.
Absolutely. I think it does. And I think tonight, we talked about the 5-on-5 scoring, though, and Austin Matthews will help with that. He's one of the best 5-on-5 scorers in the league since he's come into the NHL, right? So you add in that scoring element to Austin Matthews, who is still chasing goal number 200. Maybe he can get that tonight.
Yeah.
So it's...
You know Connor did it. You know Austin's going to do it tonight.
Well, he needs to, because if you look at the Rocket race, Connor McDavid is on a heater. He's got 6 goals already.
Connor McDavid on pace to put up 225 points this season, and I'm not prepared to say that he won't do it.
Well, that's just preposterous.
I know it's preposterous, but I'll just never bet against him. He's just insane. He's
but that 150 point is there. But, I mean, like, just the fact that Austin Matthews, if he really does want to defend his Rocket Richard trophy, he's got to get going, because it doesn't seem like Connor McDavid's going to stop scoring. Like,
I know. I hate to sound like he's got to get going. The man's played one game. I'm really looking forward to seeing him play tonight. He's had 3 days of practice, 1 game under his belt. It should be a really big night for Austin.
Yeah, and I'm expecting it. Like, I believe that Austin Matthews had a great game against the Rangers.
Incredible. He could have scored a hat trick. Like, he had how many shots do you have again?
8 shots on goal, but 16 shot attempts, 8 of which ended up on goal. He almost scored that overtime winner. He's going to do it tonight. Like, I believe him that the offense is about to burst here in Toronto. They're 5th in the league in expected goals for, and it just hasn't happened, right? Like, they only got 8 goals through the first 4 games. That's not what you're expecting out of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they've been goalied a couple times, like we've talked about.
Getting goalied is a factor, especially when you've only played 4 games and you got goalied 2 of them. And by the way, I really like the term goalied. I feel like you coined it, honestly. Like,
I don't know if I coined it. It's been around for a little bit, but it's exactly what's been happening.
Yeah.
And coming in, I believe I saw Aiden Hill is going to get the start tonight, and he's off to a really good year.
Yeah.
Like, his first couple of starts, he's been real solid. It's his first year in San Jose, coming over from Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, you hope that it doesn't happen again tonight, right, for the Maple Leafs. You hope that they can finally find the
score sheet. They seem to be a little bit cursed with the getting goal lead especially when it's least expected.
Yeah, no, it doesn't come against the Carey Prices, although it somewhat did in the playoffs.
Are you kidding?
But it comes against the Anton Forsbergs of the world. Joey Decord last year. Remember Joey Decord?
That was insane.
Randomly got the start. Like, he played out of his mind.
Yeah.
It was incredible. But I think that tonight, the Maple Leafs, if they can get going at 5-on-5, if they can limit the Sharks' power play, if they can play well and limit the special teams' blunders that the Maple Leafs don't want to allow the Sharks to get going in that regard, I think Toronto has a real solid chance to win this. Plus, the Sharks are coming off a back-to-back. So you're getting a fresh team, or a non-fresh team, and you haven't played in 3 nights, so you should be very, very fresh. They should be able to get off to a good start tonight, too. Like, the late starts has been somewhat of a talking point.
Yeah.
Tonight, especially against a team who's just played last night, you get off to that hot start, and everything should fall into place there.
Yeah. Okay, we couldn't get Kevin on the phone. We've got Kristen on the phone at the Leafs lunch table right now. Bittersweet bringing Kristen on today. Me and Kristen aren't super emotional gals. AB might shed a tear. It's Kristen's last day on the Leafs beat for TSN. 5 years on the beat, Kristen. You're the GOAT. You've done an amazing job. We'll start it out with like a big general time question about your years on the Leafs beat. You've been on the beat since the start of the Matthews era. You've kind of grown with the core of this team. How would you describe, overall, this is a big overarching question, the evolution of this team over your 5 years covering the club?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I definitely have had a unique perspective coming onto the beat, really the week that they drafted Matthews, basically.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really here for the years before when there, I know, was a lot of difficulty and failed expectations and, you know, maybe now that's caught up to them and they're sort of in a situation of trying to live up to expectations. But no, I mean, I see the core of this team. I know that they're under a lot of scrutiny. I know that people have high hopes, and rightfully so, for what they can accomplish here, and they haven't done it yet. But I really think that they've got good people. And I think that's where I've seen the evolution of this team the most, is that the people they have invested in as individuals and as players, I just think that they have the right mix here, where once they kind of figure it out and they're able to put those final pieces together of what they need to reach the points that they want to, I just think that they have the foundation. And I know that people will argue that and say, well, it hasn't happened yet, or what about this, what about that? I just think from my perspective, how I've seen them grow, mature, develop, I just think that they're going to be able to do more than what they have, obviously. And it's been really fun to watch. It's been fun to see them kind of go from the baby-faced core to, you know, these very sort of grizzled veterans on the team. It's been quite a ride for me, and it's been a real privilege to be able to watch it.
Well, if you had to pick one moment, one game maybe that stands out to you that was really memorable during your time on the beat, what would it be?
Oh, I think it still, for me, might be the Centennial Classic back my first season. For me, that was a really big day because I was Mark Masters, who usually does a lot of the broadcast work. He had been at the World Juniors, so I actually got to do some SportsCenter hits from the field at the Centennial Classic. So for me, that was really cool to be involved on that side of it. But then just the game, I think the atmosphere, the energy was not like anything I'd been a part of before. For Matthews to score the goal that he did, the dramatic finish, I just thought it was so well done, so well executed. To be in Toronto, from, you know, from a personal and professional standpoint, it was just a game that I think I'll always remember, and it was a big moment for me to be able to do that broadcast work that I'd never really had the chance to do before. It felt like, you know, kind of coming along in my own development to have that that chance, and I'll always relish it, because how many people get to do that, right? How many people get to be a part of those big events? And I just thought that the way the team was so excited after that game and that season was supposed to be kind of a building block, and it ended, they ended up making playoffs that year, and it felt like a real turning point in that season when they were able to put together that win.
I said I was an emotional gal. You're going to get me here, Kristen. We've got TSN Leafs reporter Kristen Shilton on the phone. Her last day on the beat. We're still going to bug you to come on a lot, Kristen. We'll switch to the present now, though. The Leafs have been kind of snake-bitten. Kind of. I said kind of because they've been getting so many chances, having a hard time putting in the net to start the year, especially at 5-on-5, just 5 goals so far. But they're 5th in the league in expected goals. Do you think tonight is the night the process finally starts to pay off?
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like most seasons the Leafs, you know, they're like a house on fire out of the gate. Like, they're swimming at will, and it's crazy.
Maybe this is a good sign.
Maybe, you know what? I was going to say, maybe this is the weird narrative that it's going to be this year of, well, maybe you have to learn out of the gate how to win tight games. maybe that's something that ends up paying dividends down the road instead of the other way, where you can score at will and everything's great, but then when you stop being able to score, you have no idea what to do with your hands. You know, you're just like sitting there like panicking. So I think this could, I wouldn't call it a good thing, but if you're getting the chances and you feel like you're around the net and you feel like the chemistry is there, they're working in a lot of new people. They're still, I mean, individually, I feel like the performances have been pretty solid. It's more just the timing to me is still a little bit off. And I think that's affecting some guys more than others. Like, I haven't seen, even with like Marner and Richie in their first few games before Matthews came back, it felt like their timing, there's a half step off. Everybody's kind of just a half step, not quite sure what's happening. So I wonder if that contributes, gets in guys' heads a little bit and they just can't seem to finish on these chances. But I think it's a good sign that they're as good as they are in the faceoff circle. I believe they're the best in the league in faceoffs right now. So you're putting yourself in a good position to start. I know some people argue, oh, faceoffs don't matter, but you get the puck back. You're putting yourself in good position. Now it's just about how do you bury the chances. And I think that the turn of narrative here, the shift in that, I think it could benefit the Leafs if you just get a little bit hardened to start the year and your mindset isn't just, oh, we can outscore anybody, we can score our way out of our troubles. This is an opportunity to say, okay, well, when we can't score, how are we going to react and how are we going to build our game out from there? So I think the goals will come. They always do. It's one of the things that you can say about a long season when we think back to an 82-game season in the past. It's just, you know, you go through these droughts and these times of difficulty, but eventually it does sort of work itself out. And the key for the Leafs is just going to be not only a balance of scoring, but just once they do get rolling, find ways to continue to keep it going. And so you don't run into these highs and these lows of tons of goals and then not being able to score at all.
In conversation with Kristen Chilton, TSN Leafs reporter, for one more day, I guess, for the rest of the day. So the Sharks are in Toronto, game tonight. You can watch it on TSN4, puck drop at 6 o'clock. What about this matchup are you kind of most excited to see here? What's the key for Toronto to finally give the Sharks their first tally in the loss column?
Yeah, you know, I was watching, part of the Sharks game, and they're just so confident right now. Like, they have this, like, swagger about them, and it's such a strange schedule, right? Like, the Leafs haven't played since Monday, and then the Sharks have played Tuesday and Thursday, and it's just such a strange sort of start to the year on both sides. But to me, San Jose just doesn't spend a lot of time in their own end. They're just very aggressive, and they're able to, when they do get on offense, they are really able to just challenge opponents in a lot of different ways. And for the Leafs, the teams that they have played so far, I mean, you've seen Ottawa twice, you've seen Montreal and New York being a bit of a different team, and you just get stonewalled by Shesterkin in that game. And I wonder, where's the confidence at for the Leafs right now? And we just talked about their scoring troubles, but how much does that really affect them mentally to be going up now after you get, I guess you could even say it about Forsberg too in Ottawa, but kind of the same thing. Lots of chances, can't score. Then you get, you know, you're the better team probably, and you still end up losing because of the hot goalie. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the Sharks and see a team that is just loose, they're rolling, they don't seem to have a care in the world, they're just playing their game. That, you know, John Tavares today is talking about the Leafs playing their game, but what is that exactly? Like, what does that look like? And, you know, when are you getting frustrated? Does that start to seep in tonight? And I think even when when you're playing a hot team and you're going in knowing that they're a hot team, that can be either a rallying cry or it can be really demoralizing. So that's kind of what I'm watching, is to look at that first period and see, A, how much support are you giving Michael Hutchinson, who hasn't played a game since April 4th, and that's a bit of a long layoff. And then I'm looking at, what do the Leafs' body language say? I mean, are they taking the game to San Jose, or are they allowing the Sharks to kind of dictate how this is going to go? Because I think this first period is going to be really crucial. The Sharks, they might start fading in the third. They played last night. The Leafs should be fresh. And if Toronto can't capitalize on how fresh their legs should be, I don't know how this game is going to go for them against a really confident, talented opponent.
We'll get you out on this one, Kristen. It's your last day. You could be candid. You could be honest. This is a big question. Prepare yourself. Will the curse be broken this season? Are the Leafs going past the first round?
Oh, you know, but if they don't, I should steer clear of this. You know, everyone on Twitter, don't post anything, don't talk to anyone. No, I think they do. I'm going to say it today on this day. I think this is the year. Second round, here they come.
Here they come. Let's go. Well, you know, like you said, the way that this year has gone, it's been opposite of everything else.
Yeah,
so maybe the ending will be opposite as well. Kristen, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you over the past few years here at TSM. We wish you nothing but success in your new endeavors. This won't be a goodbye. It is a see you later. We'll definitely bug you from time to time to come on the show, but really appreciate working with you, and thank you again for joining us today.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks, Kristen.
Well. There she goes, Kristen Shilton, Maple Leafs reporter for the rest of the day. The Leafs lunch tables, fueled by Vanilla Visa prepaid card in Circle K. For your chance to win a $100 Vanilla Visa prepaid card, text the keyword lunch and your name to 105050. Text the word lunch and your name to 105050. I'm Mike DiStefano. She's Juliet Descherry. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Bobby's elite. He's incredible with the detail he has during games, in the dressing room. Just an all-around great person and somebody that, you know, cares deeply about the team. And he gets assists on goals for a reason, because he's got great details.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you in part by LeaseBusters. It's so easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace, LeaseBusters. Avoid penalties and early termination. Go to LeaseBusters.com.
Remember that play that Bobby Hastings made? And I talk about it as if it was a play made on the ice.
Yeah.
But it basically was. Was it last year, the year before, when Mitch Marner broke his stick as like play was going up the ice, and Bobby Hastings absolutely on his A game grabs a stick, gives it to Marner as he's flying by, and then ends up going and scoring a goal on like a 2-on-1. It was incredible. I remember everyone just fell in love with Bobby Hastings after that. And
yeah,
looks like he's in the news again.
The old equipment manager, Apple. Gotta love it. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Juliet Sherry. Got Al's brother with me. Let's bring in my buddy Corwin McCallum from Bar Down, who can speak a little bit more to the Bobby Hastings situation. Corwin, are you really there?
I'm here. I made it.
Oh my gosh, you made it. Sometimes Corwin's notoriously... I'm going to put you on blast for this every time you come on the show, because like Corwin's a notorious...
Well, the first
no
time we had
guy.
Him on the show, it took him like 5 minutes to answer. I think he was sleeping or something.
Have I said this on air before? My phone autocorrects to capital Corwin when I text Corwin, because usually I'm yelling at him to answer me. Corwin, we were just talking a little bit about Bobby Hastings. You get to be in the Leafs pregame. The Leafs game is on TSN tonight. You can catch it there. You'll see Corwin in the pregame if you're watching it on TSN. Can you tell us a little bit? I haven't given too much context about the Bobby Hastings situation, why he went so viral this week.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, 6 p.m. start, that's weird.
Right? Yeah, we were talking to Chris Johnson about it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but either way, so basically... Weirdly enough, Max Kerman, the like lead singer of the Arkells, because they had that like opening night performance.
Yeah.
They had a couple seats that were right behind the bench, and they were just kind of like, wow, this is interesting, where throughout the game, Bobby Hastings is just kind of sitting there, well, not actually sitting there, standing there with his head turned towards the ice, and then keeping fingers on what players' sticks are on the ice at that moment, so that if one of their stick happens to break, he's right there, can have it as quick as possible. And then basically Max Kerman recorded a little video of him doing it, and yeah, obviously just had tons of views all over the place. I think like 3 million on the Arkells TikTok, and then I know we reposted it and had like another 2 million or something. So
yeah,
everybody loves Bobby Hastings.
Is he the most beloved equipment manager in the league? Did this go viral, do you think, because it was the Leafs, or because Bobby Hastings so sick at his job? Is anyone else doing this? I actually have no idea.
So I think like this particular technique is like his. So I love that. But
yeah.
But also like there is a weird thing where like I feel like every fan base loves their equipment manager, because like I know like there's a popular one in like Pittsburgh. This guy I think it's Dana Hines. And like basically because Crosby scored a goal last year that was very similar to the Marner one you were talking about. That was in 2018. And Really, basically, as I was like kind of doing research for this piece and looking through all the different examples of this, I just kind of realized that it actually does happen like quite a bit where they happen to maybe not necessarily score the goal. Like Marner's was an assist, but obviously in any scenario, there's a lot of chances that happen from broken sticks. A guy goes and grabs one on the fly, and then is able to contribute.
Yeah, like. Equipment manager Apple. What a relic.
The weirdest part about that video to me is the fact that like he's looking over his shoulder the entire time, and you also see his fingers moving, and it's like he just knows exactly whose stick is in what position. Like he's not even looking at the sticks and he's just moving his fingers. It was absolutely wild to me.
Yeah, funny, like I talking to I don't know if I'm supposed to say his name or not, but the quiz master on TSN.
Good call.
Don't say his name.
Yeah. But because he was kind of pointing out, it's like a piano player almost, right? Where and like kind of knowing where the keys are, and like he's that kind of level of pianist with these sticks.
So, yeah, Stevie Wonder stuck out to me. Like Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, the way that he's out there looking at these pianos.
Can you say that?
Legitimately, like that's what it looked like. Like just sitting there, just knows exactly where the keys are. Exactly where the sticks are. It was beautiful. It was a masterpiece.
I thought it was so hilarious the way that Sheldon Keefe was talking about him after the game. Like he was talking about Bobby Hastings, like another player on the team. Like, we believe we've got the best in the league here. Like, it was so funny.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Can you fit him under the cap? I don't know. You might need a massive raise next year or something. But also, and I feel like the easy nickname there is Bobby Beethoven.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Corwin, good call. And then we heard Spezza commenting too. Last one, Corwin. Do you think anyone's going to steal his technique now that they've seen it? That was what the Spets man was worried about.
I know, right? I did think that. I was like, damn, that would actually suck if it really did kind of give away a competitive edge that they had. But I mean, like, at the same time, it's not like they were hiding it, right?
Yeah.
He's doing it on the bench every night, and there's people who have obviously much closer views of that than we do, so I'm sure some other people have picked up on it in the past. And again, doing research, there is other techniques that people have, right? Because like, and it sounds like a lot of different equipment managers use different things, where like maybe they group the sticks by lines, or they group them by numerical order based on like the player's number or whatever it may be. Where there are different kind of like strategies that they all have. So I'm sure it's just everybody kind of has their own.
Corwin, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and look forward to seeing your piece later today on the pregame on TSN4 when the Sharks take on the Maple Leafs.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Corwin.
All right, that's Corwin McCallum from Bar Down. Time to go back to school.
No. Al's Brothers School of Degeneracy.
Oh, yeah.
This game is where day. I do my learning.
It's a game day tradition here on Leafs Lunch. We are now degenerates, at least I am, and I'm trying to bring you into my school here and teach you a little bit about what's going on, which I think you're starting to pick up on. I saw you earlier in the week, you dropped the term money line.
And I was talking about outfits.
I know, but it was perfect.
And I was still wrong.
It was perfect. But we've got a game tonight again, the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the San Jose Sharks. The money line right now is -220 on Toronto. So Vegas really likes Toronto to win this game. Yeah. I do as well. But there's not much value there. And considering that they're coming off of a back-to-back San Jose, I think that Toronto could win this game by a couple. And if you think that's the case, the puck line to me is where the value's at. You can get that at +100. A few props that I really like. Auston Matthews still looking to score goal number 200 of his career. I think he does it tonight at -133. I'm expecting a big goal explosion out of the Maple Leafs tonight. So Mitch Marner, over 1.5 points. I think he has his first multi-point night. And then William Nylander, +106 for the over 3.5 shots. This guy's been shot happy all season long. I think it happens. We'll be back Monday at noon. Enjoy the games this weekend. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano for Julia Teixeira. You've been listening to Leafs Lunch Gameplay with Matt Cause next.